Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are present here. What an awesome privilege and joy to be a parent, but the blessing of being a mother. And for all of the younger ones, if you're in college, please learn to call your moms regularly. And if you're really young, just listen to them, okay? It's all they ask. Don't wait till this one day to do something. You know, I was talking with one of our young professional guys, and he was saying his mom always just says every day should be Mother's Day. So, you know, when Mother's Day actually rolls around, it's nothing special because you should already be showering your mother with all sorts of gifts and compliments and things throughout the whole year. And, you know, while that's certainly true, we should cherish our mothers. You know, especially today, we really want to honor you and just, yeah, show you our appreciation for all that you do as mothers. Now, with that being said, you know, I also want for us as a church to really learn to think of others as well. So on Mother's Day, you know, oftentimes we just think about those that we see visibly who have children, and, you know, we wish them a happy Mother's Day. But, you know, Mother's Day, the reality of Mother's Day is that there are all sorts of different emotions that can come to different people on Mother's Day. You know, I know personally of married couples who have been trying to have children and women who have a strong desire to be a mother, but, you know, for whatever reason in God's purpose and timing, that hasn't happened for them yet. And so when Mother's Day rolls around, there's actually kind of a sense of longing rather than just kind of a celebratory happy Mother's Day. There are those who maybe have even lost their mother recently, you know, and so when Mother's Day rolls around, you know, there is a sense of pain or loss and grieving that comes with that rather than just a happy, you know, Mother's Day. And, you know, maybe for those of us who are younger, maybe we have an estranged relationship with our mothers and we don't have a very good relationship with mom. And so when Mother's Day rolls around, that also is hard for us. And so I say these things not to be a downer, but as a church that is loving and caring for those around us, let's remember those kind of things too. That as Christians, we learn to care for those around us. Because on Mother's Day, even on Mother's Day, what I want for us to be as a church is that ultimately we glorify God in the way that we treat our mothers and in the way that we treat those around us. So let us learn to be joyful in Christ. Even if those of you here, maybe that's something that I just described, that fits you, and Mother's Day isn't a happy Mother's Day for you because there's pain or loss or grieving that you're going through, let's remember that as we're gathered together here and worship together today, the reminder always that we can have joy in Christ because of what he has done for us. But let us learn as a body of Christ to care for each other and to honor our mothers and to honor one another and care for one another in a deeper way. The passage that I'm going to be preaching from today is a psalm. And while most psalms are written by David, this psalm is actually in particular written by his son Solomon. And, you know, it's not your typical maybe Mother's Day kind of passage, but I hope that you'll be challenged. All the mothers here, all the, you know, would-be mothers, you know, and in the future, and also as children, that we'd be challenged by the Word of God in Psalm 127 today. And the interesting thing is, I really hope that there's a challenge that, you know, whether you have children or plan on having children in the future, God has a purpose for your children, for our children, that's far greater than anything that we could have ever imagined for them or even wanted for them. God gives us an awesome responsibility as parents, as mothers. So I hope that you're challenged and encouraged. Let's look at Psalm 127 together. This is the word of God. A song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that on this Mother's Day, we can look to your word and be encouraged by your truth. Lord, I pray for every person in this place. God, would you fill us with a sense of just joy for those of us here who are able to have children, to be thankful to you and grateful for the responsibility, but also the joy that you've given of raising children in this world. I do pray that those here who may be hurting or where Mother's Day isn't really a happy occasion, I pray that you would be with them as well, that you would heal their hearts and that you would resolve conflict by your grace, but ultimately that you would show more of your peace that only you can give in the midst of difficulty and perhaps difficult times. And so I pray that you would be with me as I preach your word. I pray that you'd be with everyone here, that all of us here would see that there's something to learn. And not only learn, but something that we need to apply into our lives as your followers. So we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this particular psalm was written by Solomon. And if you know the story of Solomon, what was he known for? Well, he was known for his wisdom. Right? His wisdom, as he asked God for this wisdom, God granted it to him. And while he wasn't always the wisest in all of his own particular living situations, we know that he had many wives and concubines and, that he had a lot to do with luxury in one sense. I mean, he's the king, and so that kind of makes sense. But as one who's a king of Israel and trying to follow God, there were definitely areas of his life where he didn't show wisdom in his own life. But God gifted him with wisdom in a particular way that for ruling his people and for sharing his wisdom, it was a particular gifting that God gave to Solomon. He's the one who wrote this particular psalm. And we see a lot of things being addressed in this psalm for the people of God. And I really believe that in this message, or in this passage, in this psalm, there's something to learn for each one of us. There's something to challenge those of us here who are mothers and fathers, those of us here who are parents, and also those of us who will be mothers and fathers in the future. There's something for us to take away and to be challenged by and encouraged by in this psalm. As we read together, it says that children are a heritage from the Lord, a blessing. But the question is, why are children a blessing? Maybe some of us here are like, I don't feel like they're a blessing at this moment, right? Maybe there's something going on, they're not listening to you, or they're not living the way that you'd hope for. And so, children aren't a blessing. No, but God tells us actually children are a blessing. But why? Well, because they have a purpose in God. A purpose that God has given them, and a purpose that God has entrusted you as parents to help nurture and train and build up so that they can actually live out their purpose that God has actually placed on their lives. Now, again, with that being said, some of us here, may not have children yet, or perhaps maybe we never will. I mean, I can't guarantee one way or the other. But I also want to make a note that there is such a thing, and this is not just to kind of, spiritualize things, but I know many men and women who were not able to have children of their own, but have had many spiritual children, because the lives that they have lived have affected the next generation in such a way where they are also fulfilling their purpose in the Lord, and that there is so much evidence even of God's grace Though some may not have their own children, that they can be a part of this purpose that we're going to be talking about today. That they can be spiritual parents to the next generation and help mold and guide them to live out their purpose in the Lord. So as we think about these things, let's remember that all of us here can have an impact on children, on the next generation. And I pray that that will be our heart together. So let's look at a few points together today, just a couple points here. First thing is this, how can we, if it's the purpose of children to be like arrows in the hand of a warrior, how can we as believers, as a church, as mothers and parents do this? Equipping our children, helping them to fulfill their purpose to live for the Lord. First thing, it's absolutely necessary, is to surrender your children to the Lord. Okay, that's the first thing. Surrender your children to the Lord. Look what it says in verse 1 and 2 here. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. So what do these verses have to do with children? For any of us here who have, experience raising a newborn, you might look at verse 2 and scoff. It says, for he gives to his beloved sleep. So you might be thinking, well, he must not have loved me very much, because I remember staying up many, many late hours, when they're crying, you have to feed them and change their diapers and do all these different things. But these verses have everything to do with children. And here's why. It's a very clear reminder to believers that there is only one person who is in control. Not only of your life, but also your child's life. You hear that? Sometimes we are willing to say, God, I surrender my life to you. I trust in you. And then when it comes to our kids, we say, I got this, God. You got me. I got the kids. But God says that's not how it works. You see, even your children belong to me. Even your children, I can care for far better and far greater than you could have ever wanted or wished. The best life that you have envisioned for your children, I have a far greater, more awesome plan for them than you could ever have fathomed or imagined. And I think that's why, when it comes to having children, and I'm not saying this as if I know everything, but in terms of surrender, this is one of the hardest things for parents to do. To truly be able to say, God, I entrust my child fully to you. Whatever you would have them do, God, take them. They're yours. And it's not a bad thing, because I think a lot of times parents have a hard time surrendering their children to the Lord because they love them. We love our kids, and so we want the best for our kids. So we do strategize, and we do plan, and we try to control things in their lives to make sure that they're staying on the right path, to make sure they're getting involved in all the right activities, to make sure that they're on top of their studies, to make sure that they're excelling in different areas of their lives. We want our children to be successful. We want our children to be successful. And again, success is not a bad thing. Wanting our children to be successful is not a bad thing. But in these verses, we see that when we try to take control and say, I have all the control and the power to move my child this way or that way, to make sure that they get into Harvard or Princeton, or, they must be in this route. Otherwise, somehow, I'm failing as a parent. You see, when you try to take control for yourself and you don't surrender your children to the Lord, actually it becomes more of a burden on you. Why? Because how they turn out is ultimately, in your mind, only up to you. You didn't press them to study hard enough. You didn't put them in front of the violin or piano to practice hard enough. You didn't get them into the right activities. What I didn't do. You see, it becomes a burden when you start thinking that you can attain a successful child by your own hand. And what do we see that it leads to in verse 2? It says, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil." Many parents I talk to, myself included, thinking about the future of our children, it does bring about a somewhat of an anxiety. But and then the way that we react is, well, I got this. I'm going to get them involved in, again, the right sports or activities, or find the right tutors, or get into the right schools and programs. How taxing it must be to be depending on your own ability and power to raise your children when God is saying, surrender your children to me. Surrender your children to me. Look, if everything was on the mother and father to be the perfect model and to do everything right in order for their children to turn out well, I mean, all of us would be in a lot of trouble, myself included. But God says, surrender them to me. Surrender them to me. You don't have to be perfect parents that make all the best decisions. You try, yes, but ultimately in your heart, are you surrendered to the Lord? It is God's grace and sovereignty. At the end of the day, what is the most important thing for our children? It's not that they become successful. Maybe you don't like hearing that, some of the parents here. It's not that they become successful. It is that they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen? But don't want that, but then enact and live out differently in a way where we're teaching our kids that that isn't what we want most for them. And instead, what we teach is that it's about success and being driven and making your mark in this world. And God says, surrender your children. I want to use them to make a mark for me, that people will know the Lord through them and their faith that I want to give to them by my grace. So if you find yourself worrying about your children constantly, it's not all bad. Because that worry shows that there's something that you care about and you're concerned. But if it takes you to a place where you're not giving over control to the Lord, perhaps it's showing that there's more prayer that is needed. There's more prayer. I want to ask of the parents here and the grandparents here, are you praying for your children? Are you? Are you setting aside time to be on your knees and praying for your children? Even if your children are already 30, 40 years old, are you still praying for them? Because God is saying, surrender your children to me. Are you praying? And as you pray, God can give you peace even in the midst of difficult situations. Because that's God's heart. As you learn to surrender to him more, he gives you more and more of his peace and love and understanding. Even when it looks like your child has gone astray, maybe those of us here, we have children who have grown up in the church, but now they're working hard and they're successful, but they're not going to church anymore. And so you start wondering, well, how does this all work out? And I want to believe that they were believers when they were younger, but it doesn't seem like church or faith is an important part of their lives. Stop being anxious and worrying, and please pray. Go to the Lord in prayer. He hears your prayers. He loves you as a mother and as a father. He cares for you. Surrender your children to the Lord. And he will give you peace and a reminder that he is good and gracious and loving. And I think this also, it extends to ministry as well. You know, whether you're serving in the youth or, you know, with young adults or, you know, even older adults, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we want to see a change in their lives, and even in that, we want to control it. If I can just share the gospel in the right way, if I can just share about this passage in just the right way, if I could just do this or do that, then they'll come to believe in Jesus. Well, no. We pray because we trust in Jesus, not because we believe that just if we do this, we're going to get an end result that we're hoping for. You see, even prayer is not a means of our control over our children. True surrender means prayer is trusting God. Even when things look like they're not turning out right, we keep on going to the Lord, surrender each and every day. Amen? As mothers, as fathers, let's commit to praying for our children and never stop. Store up prayers and let God unleash his love and grace in their lives in his timing. Second thing is this, remember your child's purpose in the Lord. And again, as I speak these things, there are many here who have had much more experience in being a parent than me. So I hope you don't hear me in any way trying to come from some kind of top-down thing, all right? That's not me, I promise. I'm just preaching the word of God, and I get kind of fired up when I'm teaching God's word. But remember your child's purpose in the Lord. This is what it says in verse 3. Let's read it again. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Here's a very quick and clear reminder that your children, yes, you bore your children, but they are not your own. Okay? Your children are actually not your own. They are a heritage from who? From the Lord. So they're not even yours to begin with, in a sense, because God is saying they are a heritage from him. They belong to him. They're a blessing from him. And I think this is an important thing, an important starting place to be at as we think about what the purpose for our children really is. And again, not just because we are in a mostly Asian church, but the idea of success, if we're honest, is a very important thing in our culture. You study hard, you go to the best school, you can be successful. Hard work translates into success. And so many parents fall into this kind of trap of raising their children so that they can be successful in the eyes of the world. And if they can just do that, if they can just be successful, then my parenting has been worth it. You know, I saw a few episodes of this Netflix special about like street food, and it just goes to various different parts, and you know, they show people and their backstories about how they had to work so hard to sell food on the street, and this is was their main source of income, right? And so in story after story, what I heard from these parents, especially the ones that centered on the Asian countries, was, I do this, and I sacrifice, and I do all these things. Why? So that my child can go to college. So that my child can have a better life than me, than I had. And it sounds like a great thing, and it is a great thing, because it shows the love of a parent to sacrifice and do things to better the situation or circumstance or life of their child. But as believers of Jesus Christ, there is something far greater than any education or any amount of money or any amount of wealth and power, respect, popularity. There's something greater than that that God desires for our children. What is the end goal as you think about your children? What do you hope for them most in your life? Be honest. Just think about it right now. What are your hopes and your aspirations for your children? Is the first thing that pops up, oh, I just want them to know the Lord. Perhaps there are those times when you feel that. But how much more often do we become part of the world's system of, I want them to be successful. I want them to have a good life. I want them to meet the right Christian boy or right Christian girl so that they can have the good and right Christian family, and I can have my, you know, right and good Christian grandchildren, or, you know, whatever it might be. And God says, remember the purpose, the true purpose of children is that they are from the Lord, and we must raise them up in the Lord. We have to ask God what His purpose in their lives may be. Ultimately, that they be saved by God's grace through faith. But then, what is God calling them to? Because you know what? It may not be medicine. It may not be engineering. It may not be law. He may be calling your children to do His work, to have their own unique purpose in God's kingdom work. Will you, as a parent, surrender and say, God, even if that is the case, and God, your plan for my child does not align with my very laid out, planned out plans for my children, I will still follow you, and I will surrender to you. Can you do that? Will you do that? Look at what it says in verse 4 to 5. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Look at that purpose. You know, the first time I heard this passage was when I was in college. And, I've shared very vulnerably here before. I've wanted to have a family ever since I was a little boy. I always thought, oh, it'd be so great to, you know, be married and to raise kids. I mean, even as a kid, you know, I wanted kids. You know, it's kind of a weird thing, right? But I've always wanted a family. So when I was in college, yes, I was a believer, but my thinking, I realized about my desire to have a family was, I want to be the best dad I can be, and there's going to be kids who love me, and they're going to, you know, they're going to trust me, and they're going to depend on me, and it's going to be so great to just kind of be fulfilled by that. I'm going to have a wife who loves me, and I'm going to do my best to cherish and show her my love, and we're going to love God together. And so I had all these kind of, you know, thoughts about what family would be like, and a lot, and I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of it centered around me. You see, the purpose of even marriage, but then having children, in my mind, somehow, of course I knew it was about God because I'm a Christian, but when I was really, the things I got excited about, it was like, oh, I can't wait to have a family and kids to hold and take care of and a wife, you know, And when I heard this passage, wait, kids are like arrows, what in the world? It was a very strange and very, almost like a radical concept to me. So, arrows in the hand of a warrior? And what I learned, that the purpose of our children, the true purpose of our children, is not for our own benefit or for our own little kingdoms where we feel glad that we've done this good job of raising this good family and successful kids and all these things, but it's that they would become weapons for God. That they would know the word of God. That they will be believers who, in especially right now in this generation and the next generation, will learn to stand up for truth, to speak truth, so the enemy would cower because there are young men and women who are willing to take a stand for the gospel and to live their lives counter to the culture, that it's not all about success and power, but it's about God. His glory, His kingdom. And so the purpose of our children, yes, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Have you ever thought about your children like that? That they would be arrows, that be weapons against the enemy. I pray that for Caleb. That as he grows older, as he gets to know more about this world, but more about the love and the reality of the biblical truths of God, that he'd be like an arrow, and I'm ready to let him loose so that he can go and do what God has called him to do. Let's remember the true purpose of our children. Let's raise them up in the Lord. You know, a mother shares, you know, with her friend that her son wants to be a missionary in a poor country. Her friend says, "Praise the Lord, what a blessing." The next day, that friend's own daughter comes to her and says she feels like the Lord is calling her to be a missionary in a poor, remote country. And the friend responds, "No, not my baby girl." You see, so often it's when it's not like here in our area that we're trying to control, we say, "Yes, praise God. Yes, wow. Your child wants to be a missionary to a foreign country, a poor place, a dangerous place. Praise be to God." And then when it's your own children, you're like, "Oh, okay, hold on a second. Rethink this." And have you ever, you know, a lot of my friends who are Christians, you know, they tell me that their parents, you know, say, "Well, become a doctor first and then see how you can use that in missions. Well, if you were to become an engineer, then you just think of all the ways you can do mission work while being an engineer." You know, it's always kind of like success first and then see how God can use that success. But that's backwards. That's backwards. You say to God, "God, how do you want to work in my child's life? If that means that they will go to a foreign country where it is dangerous, where they have to preach the word of God in a place where they might actually lose their lives, then so be it, Lord. I trust you. I know that you have a purpose for my child, and I pray that I be surrendered and that I will give it up to you." Parents, we have a great calling. Not perfection, but purpose, showing purpose in life. I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 6, 4-9 before we close together. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4-9, this is what it says. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." We know that. A lot of us know that verse. Verse 6 in Deuteronomy chapter 6. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Mothers and fathers, this is our responsibility. To teach the truth and the commands of God in a loving way, not only by word, but in the way that we live. But again, we cannot be perfect, but we can show purpose in our lives, and we can share that with our children, and we can have that truth, knowing this is what my children are for. They're not just for me. Yes, I can love them, and yes, it's okay to be satisfied when you feel the love of your children, but ultimately, it's about God's purpose for them, that they be like arrows in the hands of a warrior. I hope that you're challenged. I know I am, and especially more so as Caleb continues to grow older. I know there's a lot of surrender in the future, even now. I don't know what his life will look like. I don't know exactly how it'll turn out. But what he's called me to do is remember his purpose. It's God's purpose in his life. What he's called me to do is surrender him up to the Lord. That I can't mold and make him go exactly where I want him to go. But I can train him. I can do my best to teach him diligently the word of God and the ways of God. But surrender means even if there's some astray times or it seems like they're not on the straight path that you're hopeful for, that you're wishing for, God says, I have them. He's already mine. So let's learn to pray together. Let's surrender to the Lord our children and our own lives. Let's remember how we came to know the Lord. When we look back, I'm sure it wasn't just a straight path to God. But through all the twists and turns of life, God was in control, wasn't he? And he still is. Let's trust in him. And let's again remember the purpose that God has for our children, for his purposes. Let's pray together. Just take one moment to pray before I close us again in prayer. For all the mothers who are here, I'm so thankful for each of you. I praise God that you have been given such a privilege to raise young men and women. But ultimately, you know, you're sharpening arrows for God's kingdom. And I just pray that you would love on them as you have been. Pray for them. So much sharpening in prayer. And ask God that they would be used for his kingdom. Can we do that, mothers and fathers? And if you are young, if you're still in junior high or high school, or and you're here, pray that you would honor your parents. Your parents know that they're not perfect, but I believe that they always are trying their best to love you and show God's love for you. Will you pray that you would do your best as young ones to follow God and to obey him by honoring your parents and being thankful that they're in your lives? Can you just do that for a moment? And I'll close us in prayer. Lord, we just lift up our lives to you. We surrender it all to you, God. We thank you that you've given each one of us here a purpose. That all of us here really are like arrows. I pray that we would be that way. That God, the enemy would cower because they know that we are on fire for the Lord and that we have the truth in our hearts and a love for you that nothing in this world could ever take away. And Lord, I pray for all the parents here. Strengthen them. God, it's tough at times, we know, to really surrender over to you. But God, we trust that you have everything in your hand. So Lord, would you strengthen the parents here? Would you equip them with your word? And though they may not be perfect, God, would you communicate through them to their children that they are loved by you? So be with them, Lord. Be with all our young ones. I pray that you would help them to honor and obey their parents, not out of duty, but because they themselves are being touched by the love of God and that they're seeing their purpose in you as well. And again, we pray for those here who may be hurting because maybe Mother's Day is actually a sad day for them. Lord, be with them. Remind them that you are there. And you are here with us. We thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We will now go in.